In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we'll finish the discussion about the psalm verses that are chanted at Lord, I Have Cried. There are two shorter psalms that compose the final portion of those verses. The first one is Psalm 129. If you're looking in the King James or some other more common translation, it would be Psalm 130. And that psalm is labeled a hymn of ascent, and probably those hymns of ascent were hymns that were sung as pilgrims would travel to Jerusalem, because they would always talk about going up to Jerusalem, whether they were coming from the north or coming from the south, because Jerusalem was on a high hill, and the temple was on the highest part of that hill. So these were songs they would sing as they were going to the temple. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. St. John Chrysostom says that what the prophet David is talking about here is prayer from the depths of one's soul. He says that a tree that has deep roots is not easily uprooted, but a tree that has very shallow roots, even a light breeze can knock it over. And prayer that comes from the depths of one's soul is not easily shaken by the attacks of the enemy. The example of the prophetess Hannah, which we discussed about maybe a year ago in some detail, is a good example of someone who was in grief and bitterness of soul over the fact that she was being treated badly by her husband's second wife, and she had no children, and so she felt the reproach of childlessness and was praying earnestly that God would grant her a son, as she prayed in the tabernacle. And that prayer was honored because it came from the depths of her soul. She was totally in that prayer. A mother that's praying for a sick child doesn't have a hard time focusing on prayer, because the prayer comes very naturally, and that's coming from the depths of their soul, and they're totally into that prayer. Likewise, there are times in all of our lives when we have some issue that consumes us, and it's not difficult for us to focus on praying about that issue, because it's so much before our minds. But that's the state of our soul that we should strive to have all the time when it comes to prayer. Because if we're just simply praying, but we're saying the prayer of our lips, but not the prayer from the depths of our souls, we can't expect that God will listen to a prayer that we're not listening to ourselves. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If we want God to hear us, this supplication has to be a sincere one. It has to come from the depths of our soul. It's not a question of God's ability to hear. Obviously, God hears everything. And it's also not a question of our ability to make a sound that he can hear. Again, this is talking about the disposition of our soul, our attitude when we pray. If thou shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? For with thee there is forgiveness. We shouldn't let a sense of unworthiness prevent us from praying. Rather, we all are unworthy, and if we come to prayer with the awareness that we are unworthy, but also joining that with the faith that God is merciful and that he forgives our sins, that's the proper attitude that we should come to prayer with. If we come arrogantly, if we act like we haven't sinned when we have sinned, then we can't expect that God will hear us. But God is merciful. And the point that's being made here is that there's nothing that we could do that could bring us to the point where God would stop hearing our prayer if we do so sincerely and in repentance. St. John the Apostle says in his first epistle, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's a promise from God that we should believe to be true, because God doesn't tell us stuff that isn't true. And we know that we can believe this. This is in the Holy Scriptures. The church has handed it down for all these thousands of years. And so we have to take it seriously and believe that that really means what it says. For thy name's sake have I patiently waited for thee, O Lord. What does it mean when it says, for thy name's sake I have patiently waited? Well, in the prophecy of Ezekiel, we have one of several passages that we could talk about where God talks about why he does things for his name's sake. Here he's talking about the exile of the Jews, and obviously God exiled them and cast them out from their land because of their sins. And it reads, "So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the Gentiles, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the Gentiles, wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, 'Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes.'" So because God wishes to make his own name holy, those that are called by his name he wishes to make holy. And so he is hallowed, he is seen to be holy in the eyes of the nations when we are made holy. And so for God's name's sake, he is patient, he is merciful, and he's willing to forgive us our sins and to make us holy. "My soul hath waited patiently for thy word. My soul hath hoped in the Lord." It's on account of God's word that we hope. We wait patiently for the fulfillment of the promises that we find in God's word. And the chiefest promise that we find in scriptures is the word made flesh himself, Christ. And so we wait patiently for God's promises, and we also wait patiently on the mercy that only Christ can bring to us. "From the morning watch till night, from the morning watch, let Israel hope in the Lord." St. John Chrysostom says that nothing is so beneficial in life as watchfulness and vigilance. And so all the day and all the night, we have to be on our guard against sin, and we have to continually hope in the Lord. "For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel out of all his iniquities." There's no lack of mercy on God's part. He's willing and able to forgive every sin if only we repent. There are a certain stripe of Protestants, the Reformed, that have a teaching that's referred to as a limited atonement, which is that Christ only died for those that he would save, because why would he want to waste his grace and his mercy on those that will not be saved? But what the scriptures make very clear is that Christ died for the ungodly, Christ died for everyone. There's no limit to that grace and that mercy that's available, and if we are not saved, it won't be because God simply chose not to extend his mercy to us. It'll be because we chose to reject it. Just as if we were a prisoner that was held captive and someone was to pay the ransom, but we were to refuse to accept that ransom and we insisted on staying where we were, so is it that someone who has the grace of God offered to them but refuses to avail themselves to it. It's not that it's not there, it's that they rejected. The next psalm, Psalm 116, is the shortest chapter in the Bible. It's only one sentence, but it's packed with a great deal of meaning. "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye peoples." The point that's being made there is it's not just the Israelites that will praise the Lord, but all nations. This is a prophecy and a promise that the worship of God, the worship of true believers, would not be limited to just the Israelites, but that all nations would praise him. "For he hath made his mercy to prevail over us." He's made his mercy become strong to us is another way that it could be translated. It becomes stronger and stronger, and it prevails over all that opposes it. "And the truth of the Lord abideth forever." Everything around us is passing, but the word of God abides forever. In Psalm 118, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word abideth in heaven, unto generation and generations is thy truth." That's both a promise and a threat. It's a promise for those of us that believe the word of God, and it's a threat to those that reject it. Because whether we accept it or we reject it is up to us, but the reality is not affected by whether we believe it or not. We could choose to not believe in gravity, for example, and if we jump off of a building, our lack of faith in gravity is not going to prevent us from splattering on the pavement below, because that's a reality that exists regardless of whether we accept it or not. And likewise, the truth of the Lord is a reality that's just as certain, and even more so, and is ever unchanging. And if we embrace that, if we believe that, that's our great hope. And if we reject that, then that's a great threat and a great terror. The truth of the Lord is one constant that we have in this world from age to age and generation to generation. When you're young and you hear people talking about how things change and how their loved ones pass on, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to you. But the older you get, you start to see more and more people that you know and that you love go. And you see things change. The world today is not like it was when I was 15 years old. It's changing very quickly. And there's not a whole lot that is even lasting, much less constant. But the one thing that is constant is God and His truth. And that truth is personified in Christ Himself, who he tells us is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's where our hope has to rest. Our hope that He will hear us in times of need, that He will forgive us all our sins, that He will enable us to prevail in our struggles in this life, and to worship and adore Him for all eternity. Amen.